is a bit, and, you know, like, feminine presenting kind of people who are trans is a little bit worse or more frequent sometimes than people who are masculine and on, you know, the spectrum of being trans or gender nonconforming. And so that idea of, like, trans misogyny, or, like, you know, the idea that men being effeminate is bad, like, being masculine is seen pretty much in our society as being positive, and being feminine is pretty much seen as negative. And that extends its reach into trans people's lives in really scary ways sometimes.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Madeline, for sharing your perspectives with me today. Sadly, that's all the time we have, but I would encourage listeners to please do check out Madeline's music. Her band NPK is on Bandcamp. She has a song called Short, Bitter, and All Over the Place, and I'm gonna try to include a link to that song on the Media Sanctuary website. So yeah, check that out, and thanks again, Madeline.
Hi, this is Bill from Bristol, PA. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Science of Aesthetics Laser and Med Spa, offering a wide variety of multifaceted cosmetic services at 810 Union Street in Hudson. Consultations are available. Information at 518-697-5390 and scienceofaesthetics.net.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lenox Local in Lenox, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekachevic is reporting for the Columbia Green Media on the plan by local developer Aaron Flatch to create an event center, hotel, and other businesses on South River Street in Coxsackie. Flatch presented details of the proposal to the Coxsackie Village Board April 8th, along with a request for a letter of support for what he called the South River Street Redevelopment Project. Flatch has purchased 4 buildings on 6 acres along more than 600 feet of the Hudson River shoreline. The project is expected to take approximately 4 years to complete. The buildings will be renovated to include a 12,000-square-foot restaurant, bar, banquet hall, a 20,000-square-foot hotel, 3,500 square feet of additional commercial space with 10 high-end apartments and 3,000 square feet of retail storefront for small businesses, a series of docks, and a kayak launch. Flatch said, and I quote, "The whole idea is to promote tourism and economic development in downtown. We want to bring people there that have never been there before and have them spend money, hang out, and eat at local restaurants," end quote. Flash did not specify a cost for the project, but the letter of support the village board agreed to provide will help in his effort to secure a $2 million state grant. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kenneth C. Crow II is reporting for the Times Union. Rensselaer County Sheriff Patrick Russo has announced he will renew the agreement with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to participate in its controversial 287G program to check the immigration status of people incarcerated at the county jail. Two guards at the facility are trained and assigned to that task. Since September, two people were identified with immigration holds, according to jail records. Russo shrugs off the low number as easily as he does the complaints that erupted last year when he signed up with ICE for the training and to obtain computer access. Russo, a Republican who is running unopposed for re-election to a second term in November, said, and I quote, "We haven't had a lot of business. I see it as two criminals who aren't out on the street. It's about public safety," end quote. Russo intends to sign a new contract with ICE when the current agreement expires in June. Russo said the 287G program does not bring in any additional revenue to the county, whose 473-bed jail is nearly 40% empty on any given day. Opponents of the program said that was one of the sheriff's main selling points. Rensselaer County is the only county in New York that participates in the 287G program and one of 68 counties out of more than 3,100 nationwide that signed up. Read the full story in the Times Union. Joseph Spector is reporting for LoHUD.com. Republican Chili Farley, who ran for the U.S. Senate against Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand last year, announced April 9th she's running for Congress in the Hudson Valley. Farley hopes to unseat 18th Congressional District Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, a Democrat. Farley said, and I quote, "The Hudson Valley needs somebody who is going to fight for them, negotiate, and actually get things done that will lower our taxes and reduce our energy costs, which is what we desperately need," end quote. Farley moved from Manhattan, where she served as GOP financial chair, to Orange County in February. Farley says Maloney has failed to bring the district enough money and resources. She even blasted the Republican 2017 tax reforms that put a $10,000 cap on state and local income tax deductions. If elected, Farley said she will go to Washington and I quote, "make sure we negotiate a better deal," end quote. Farley, 51, is a graduate of Stanford University. She worked on Wall Street for UBS Capital and Goldman Sachs before founding Mistral Capital International, a private equity investment firm. Read the full story at LoHUD.com. Jana Heron is reporting for USA Today on the new W-4 form, which will change how the Internal Revenue Service calculates the amount of federal tax to be held back from a worker's paycheck beginning in 2020. According to Heron, early indicators are it will not be an easy form to complete. Pete Iceberg, head of government affairs at payroll company ADP, says the new tax form will be more like doing your taxes. He says, and I quote, "it will be a much bigger pain. The accuracy will be 100%, but the ease of use will be zero," end quote. He said the draft form he examined, and I quote, "looked a lot more like a 1040 than a W-4, end quote. Instead of claiming a certain number of allowances based on exemptions, the new form asks workers to complete the annual dollar amounts for non-wage income, itemized deductions, tax credits expected for the coming year, and more. In addition to concerns about its complexity, the tax and payroll community have cited privacy issues with the new W-4 because it asks for household income and other details that workers might not want to share with an employer. Another draft version of the form is expected by May 31st, according to the IRS. The agency is soliciting public input on that version. An agency spokeswoman said, and I quote, "we encourage taxpayers to take advantage of that opportunity and send us comments on the redesign," end quote. A second draft will be released in late summer, and the final version will be available by the end of the year in time for the 2020 tax year. Read the full story in USA Today. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Brauch of Midland Park, New Jersey. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC LP 105.3 FM in Troy.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, April 11th, Irish performers perform with Celtic harps and hammered dulcimers, penny whistles, and much more in Magical Strings at the Metabee Farm on Harlemville Road in Hillsdale from 7 to 9 p.m. And on Friday, April 12th, simple participatory circle dances drawn from many spiritual traditions, led by certified dance leaders of the Hudson Dance Circle and supported by musicians, in Dances of Universal Peace at 7 p.m. at the Sadhana Center for Yoga and Meditation on Warren Street in Hudson. An American Tragedy by celebrated playwright Arthur Miller, directed by Aaron Holbritter, A View from the Bridge, will play at the Ghent Playhouse at 8 p.m. Bellas Bartok and the Uncommon Gestures perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock starting at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, April 13th, join us as we learn about the amazing life cycle of the American eel, see live eels, and find out how you can get involved in citizen science eel monitoring at the Mud Creek Environmental Learning Center in Ghent starting at 1 p.m. Unidentified writers from around the globe will share new and in-progress writing produced during their residence at Art Olney in Writers in Hudson at the Hudson Wine Merchants third floor from 5:30 to 7 p.m. The third annual beer tasting to benefit High and Mighty Therapeutic Writing and Driving Center will be held at the Barn at Liberty Farms on Stranzer Road in Ghent from 6 to 8 p.m. The Volume Reading Series presents Marianne Chenin, Tess Brown Laveau, YZ Chin, and Patrick Donnelly, followed by DJ Stephen Bloom, starting at 7 p.m. at the Spotty Dogs and Ale in Hudson. The band The Suitcase Junket performs at Club Helsinki Hudson starting at 9 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
But here is the chairman of the board, so let me plug this in and turn him up. Hello, are you there, Chairman?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Speak up nice and loudly. So, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your time. I know you have a busy afternoon. You have a town meeting tonight. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. So, we appreciate your time. And what did you want to update us about today? I know you, school district, something with the school districts. What's going on?
I wanted to talk about the resource officers that The county is now funding in all six of our public school districts.
Wonderful. So, yeah, that's the resource sheriff officer. Is that what that's called?
Yep. There are deputy sheriffs who that we call resource officers for the school. The sheriff came to us, you know, he was gradually building it, but he came to us and, you know, in light of what's been going on in different schools across the country, he proposed that we have an officer in every school, which when I brought it to the Board of Supervisors, not one person objected to the concept, because I will say that the safety of our children are, you know, one of our utmost priorities.
All right. It's important to everybody. Yeah.
So we worked in conjunction with the school districts. We were paying 50% of the officer, and the school district is paying 50%. So as of right now, we have an officer in every school district, a public school district, as well as Columbia Green Community College.
Oh, very nice. That's very good. Yes, I've seen my children attend Chatham. They're in the high school, and I've seen, I believe, the RSO there is Kelly Briscoe, I think. Hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn. But, yeah, and it's really nice. I think it makes the kids feel comfortable as well, knowing that they have that available to them. And probably the staff, too. Is that what the sheriff was saying?
Yes. Yes. I mean, they're a resource for the staff. They're a resource for the youth. And actually, it builds a good relationship between the police and law enforcement and our students.
Now, because you mentioned this was slow in starting and not for any reason other than just to funding, obviously, is an issue, and also to test it, I'm assuming, to see how it would work.
That funding was an issue, but also the fact that we went to the school districts that wanted to have the officers. There were some initially that were resistant to the idea, but you know, within the last year or two, everyone sort of came on board and they thought it was a great idea to have an officer in the school. If you remember many, many years ago, schools didn't want a police officer anywhere near them.
Right, right. That's so very true. So this is something that you think is going to be ongoing funded as well? It'll get funding? Is it something that has to be voted on every year, or how does that work?
It would be voted on as part of our county budget. But, you know, it's in the budget now. I assume it'll stay in the budget. So, again, as I said earlier on, the safety of our youth are, you know, is one of our priorities.
Right, right. I think not sure which was the first school district that had one. I don't know if it was Chatham or Germantown that had and Hudson, perhaps?
Hudson's had a Hudson police officer, but now they have a Hudson police officer and a sheriff's deputy.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Years ago, used to have a state police officer, and the state police stopped doing that program. So then when the state police pulled out, the sheriff pulled in.
Okay. All right. Very good.
But I do have to give the sheriff, you know, a lot of credit for, you know, pushing this program forward and, you know, having concern about, you know, children's safety.
Right. Well, seeing a need and doing something to fill it. And while it's not about cost, obviously, as you said, it's about the children and keeping everybody safe. And it's sad to think that, you know, we have to think that way. But I'm glad that our sheriff is thinking that way and was able to put together a plan to make it work. And that obviously the supervisors realized that it has some value and it's important to make sure that when kids go to school, that they feel safe and secure and comfortable. So that's good. Very nice.
As I said, when we brought it up, it wasn't even debated among the supervisors.
Right. So did that go through public safety, the committee meeting, and then to the full board, or did it have other steps?
It went through public safety, it went through the budget process, and then it went to the full board.
And no real discussion about just let's get this done.
Yep.
Fabulous. And what else is going on, Chairman?
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about the upgrades and construction at Columbia Green Community College. I know it's been in the paper, but I thought I'd give sort of a progress report.
Okay. So this is Columbia Green. Columbia County is lucky we have a community college right in our backyard.
A community college.
A great school. So what's going on? They're doing some improvements.
Yeah, they're doing quite a bit of improvements. That we Columbia County put in $5 million through a bond. So did Greene County. And the state kicked in another $10 million. So the total project is $20 million.
Nice.
We're building a construction technology building. That building is for a new major, which we're thrilled about, which is historic restoration, which is going to teach carpentry, electricians, plumbing, and so on. It's everything involved with historic restoration. So I think that would be a great certificate program. Besides that new building, we're putting a new roof on the main college building. There's going to be a new heating and air conditioning system. They're upgrading the bathroom. Believe it or not, some of the bathrooms were not handicap accessible, so they'll be handicap accessible.
Oh, wow.
And we're also going to be purchasing a new computer network for the college, which our computer network, we found out, was very outdated. So for the college to continue to be competitive, we needed to get this new computer system.
Oh, very good. How old is that building? Do you know, Chairman? How old is this college?
It's between 40 and 50 years old.
Oh, wow. So it's been useful.
And the roof is probably 5 or 6 years beyond its useful life. So
wow.
They've had problems with leaks and everything else. So it's it's an expensive program, but I think it's going to be a program that's going to stabilize the buildings and the college for quite some time down the road.
Oh, absolutely. The campus has expanded somewhat over the years. I am actually a graduate of Columbia Green, class of 1990. And since then, none of the Saland building was not there, and the amphitheater or the big where you have events, that was not there. So they have done some major improvements, and this is good to hear that they're doing more, that they're looking to expand. And I think that going into the realm of the trades is a good thing. There's such a shortage of people who are tradesmen and women.
Yep.
In the state, I think it's a huge problem.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the trades program, and like I said, the building is coming along there. They're also doing cybersecurity and digital forensic.
Oh, okay.
So, sort of keeping up with the times. I mean, cybersecurity is now
a
real important issue. Matter of fact,
industry, yeah.
At our department head meeting on Friday, we did a whole segment on cybersecurity. So it's.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
I missed the department head meeting. Sorry, everybody.
Your able deputy was there.
Yes, so. I did send my deputy, so that was awesome.
I saw her taking notes. So.
She did. She reported right back to me. And then I texted you a couple of different times. No, that's great that they're doing the cybersecurity thing. It's huge. We've all heard the horror stories of this account being hacked into and this database being hacked into and people's information being stolen. So it's obviously a burgeoning field. So that's very good that the college is and the college is also undergoing a change too. The longtime president is retiring, is he not?
He's retiring in July of this year. And I've got to say that a lot of the progress that you've seen with the new buildings and some of the new majors that are there were under President Campion's leadership. And I think he should be commended for the work he's done there. I mean, times have gotten a lot tougher for community colleges.
Yeah.
Because the state is withdrawing their commitment every year, and the county has to put in more and more money because of the state withdrawing their commitment.
Wow.
And tuition has to go up. But President Campion has done a good job of balancing all that and working with both Columbia and Greene counties, to make sure that the college is funded appropriately.
Right.
So I give him a lot of credit for that.
I agree. I want to commend President Campion for the work he's done and at the school and keeping the college, up to date and with programming and classes and whatnot. So it's not an easy job, especially in this the monetary environment, as you mentioned, Chairman, that losing funding and trying to maintain programming, as you know, at the county level, that can be rather difficult. So let me touch on that just briefly. I was at a meeting yesterday and we had a brief budget update in regards to the hopefully I don't hang up on you. I did not. Okay. Someone else, my daughter was calling through. We had a brief update on the budget from our legislative person from NYSAC. And there was talk about, so internet sales tax is now a thing.
Yeah. Internet sales tax is supposed to start July of 2019. They're going to start collecting it. The bad news is some of that internet sales tax is going to be collected now. That was going to be collected. It was supposed to be used for paying the AIM funding, which is the aid to towns and villages.
Right, for their roads, sure. Right.
And we've talked about this on your show in the past. Well, what's turned out is they're going to take money off the top to pay certain towns and villages. But if a town and village doesn't meet the criteria of the fact that their AIM funding was 2% or more of their total budget,
mm-hmm. They don't get the funding.
But if they don't, if they're less than 2%, they won't get any funding.
Oh, you're kidding!
And believe it or not, in Columbia County, there are no towns that meet that criteria, so no towns and villages will get AIM funding.
Oh, you're kidding!
No, so this is sort of a new revelation.
Wow!
It took a few days to try to decipher the budget.
Sure.
And I talked to NYSAC as well, and actually I initially got the information from Senator Daphne Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
We were appreciative of that.
Right.
But it wasn't good news, unfortunately.
No, that's not good news. So we're losing the AIM funding, and then we don't even get this internet sales tax yep. portion that we should be getting.
But we will get internet sales tax. They're just going to take some off the top.
They're taking some off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And no AIM restoration. That was kind of sneaky anyway to restore the AIM funding by putting in a new tax. So very interesting.
And then we end up not qualifying for it.
Right, yeah, and then we end up not qualifying for it because we managed a good budget, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep your...
All the towns and villages.
Right, yeah, are budgeting smartly, and now you're getting penalized for it. So very interesting news. Now I understand there's a board meeting tomorrow night. Anything of note that's on the agenda for tomorrow night, or is it a relatively...
No, I mean, it's relatively basic. A lot of position requests that were... There are no new positions, but there are positions that we, we passed at the last point one meeting. We didn't have a point one, which was the personnel committee meeting in January and February. So they sort of stacked up, but that was done on purpose.
Right.
But there are several positions that went through.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Beep, beep. Thank you.